From the Lighthouse Chapel International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Collins Osabre will inspire you with rare teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord and to do your best for Him. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now listen to Victor Collins Osabre.
Somebody said amen. Why don't you put your hands together for the Lord, and you may please be seated. Hallelujah. The last Tuesday in May, and I want to share probably for the last time this season on the anointed man, or the anointed vessel. You know, we've been talking about how Jesus celebrated a woman who, poured oil on him, isn't it? Yes, and then we've also been doing looking at how to identify anointed people. Have you been following? Are you here?
Yes.
Have you been following that?
Yes.
Right, so basically what we're trying to do, or what God is trying to teach us, is to be very careful about his servants. Because just as we will prefer God above our fellow people, he wants us to also look at the people that he has called and he has anointed. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, the Bible says something. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. The Bible says that if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? But the trick here is the fact that even though we have brothers and sisters around, we prefer God to our brothers and our sisters. Oh, you're quiet. I'm saying that we prefer, the scripture is saying that even though we have brothers and sisters around, we prefer God. But God is saying that that's not what he's expecting. He expects that we love ourselves. But I'm saying that even if that is our disposition, if that's what we prefer, choosing God above our fellow brethren, then it is very important to understand that when God anoints a servant, when God anoints a man, when God anoints a woman, then we are being taught as Christians to know how to deal with such people. That's what I'm trying to say. Because the moment God anoints a woman or a man for you, you are finished if you won't take it. Somebody has cooked a meal for you, and then you say you won't eat it. You are hungry. You go hungry. That's it. Finished. Somebody has given you money. You say you don't like it. Well, then you go without money. So that is what we are trying to say. That if God anoints a man or anoints a woman for you and I, then we have to be very careful about it. Even in our normal lives, when people we love buy us gifts, A, we cherish them. When some of our boyfriends and girlfriends, they buy us them cheap things. One of the things that makes me get vexed, somebody has what they call promise ring. Promise? Whose promise? A human being's promise? You are wearing a cheap ring from Stabroek Market, and you are saying it's a promise ring? And you're feeling so proud and good? Promise? Promise? Promise ring? Promise? Even the one that they say they marry, they take it back. Or they shy it. How much more promise? I get back. Some people say, promise. Sure. But we cherish the things that our so-called loved ones give to us. Hey. Charlie, there are some things you can't touch. Oh. You can't touch. You can see that sometimes some gifts or some presents are worn out. They are getting old. They become monuments. But somebody, the person says, no. You know who bought it for me? No, you can't touch it. Yeah. I've come across people who, I mean, from what I know and how I have been brought up, I just don't wear rings. I didn't grow up wearing chains and you know, bracelets and rings. It's quite feminine also. So for a man, you know, to be wearing chain and bracelets, are you a Christmas tree? It's women who have all those decorations. They are Christmas trees. We accept it because they have to look attractive for us. If the woman is not attractive, we'll just pass them straight. When they look attractive, say, hi, baby. Hey, we do that, no? Where are the men? Are you in the church? So women must decorate themselves. All the colors, red, gold, green, blue, golden arrowhead color. Rainbow. When you do that, then we see you and say, what? Something nice day in the world, you know. But a man, your hair, you plait your hair as a man, you get earrings as a man. Are you a tree? Are you a Christmas tree? But I've come across people who have, I mean, when I see them, ladies especially, I've seen ladies, sometimes, oh, they're wearing a ring. And then you ask, why are you wearing a ring? So, my godmother gave it to me. I say, hey, I didn't know that God too, they have a mother one of it, of the God. Yeah, and sometimes you try to explain, you know, these kind of rings and things, you have to sometimes be a little careful. People love these things. So, oh, my, this gave to me. So, my mother. I've met somebody whose mother's ring, she was wearing her mother's rings. The mother was an Obia woman. She was into Obia. And, you know, she died, left a lot of jewelry and things like that. And, of course, you know, some women, their eyes are, when they see gold, their eyes open big. So instead of just taking this gold and probably throwing them away or giving it to somebody, she's decorating herself with the gold. No wonder she went to a church and then the pastor told her that somebody's following her around. So she came to me and said, Pastor, what do you think? I said, but I'm not the one who told you somebody's following you around. You've been in this church all these years. I've never seen anybody following you. So if you've gone somewhere for deliverance service and they say somebody's following you, then don't come and ask for confirmation. I don't know. I've not seen anybody. Some Baku following you, some midget or some kapwepwe. I don't know. Go back to where they told you. Let them take some, is it garlic or something or lima coal? And black out the Baku or something. But you see, when our earthly relationships or relations, they give us things, we cherish them. We cherish them. I mean, they're very, very special to us. Somebody may be on Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, somebody buys you a nice red rose. If there are some people who stop coming to the church when on Mother's Day we don't buy them gifts. Because other churches have spoiled this kind of thing we do. That on Mother's Day, every woman in the church, every mother gets a gift. It's a lot of money. GPL has not come to disconnect your light before. Your congregation is at the church. Unless somebody in the church sponsors to buy these things, these flowers, it's what, $100? The red rose, is it $100? It's cheap. How much? $100? Judy? $100? Okay. But what does it do? The people feel nice. I got to the Mother's Day in the church. Prayer is more important than the red rose. But you see, even that, some people get offended if you don't give such things on Mother's Day, Father's Day. So what are you going to give to the fathers? We want vehicles, oh. Fathers, we don't want, we want care. We want nice Allion. Music inside. We don't want no flower. Oh, what are you going to do with flower? Oh, where are the men? Yeah, want vehicles. So when is Father's Day, please. Mother's Day will buy you roses, no problem. But Father's Day, all of us want vehicles. Pastor Roberto, you want what? Kia Sorento, isn't it? New Kia Sorento. Black. What? Tinted. Slightly tinted. Ah, please make a note. What are the pastors of the churches? Make note of it. The men like vehicles and cars. What do you think? Yeah. Now, I'm saying that if when our earthly relations, when they buy us things, we cherish them, then what about when God gives you a man or a woman as your pastor or as an anointed vessel for you? That's what we're talking about. And that is what God does. God is in the business. You see, we have to read the Bible a lot and understand what happens in the kingdom of God and what happens in the secular world. Are you with me? In the kingdom of God, the things that God gives us are very spiritual and very precious. You see that in the world, the worldly people would want the church to do something else that God wants the church to do. The main thing that God wants the church to do is to win souls. But the world will want us to feed the poor. Now, again, some of this is getting me vexed. I've seen a poster in town about something, some concert. Musicians, gospel artists are coming together at Jubilee Park next month. And hope is rising. Hope is rising. I don't have any problem with people singing. But you see, these people make the world disrespect us. Because they are doing a concert in support of what? Stop what? Domestic violence, stop something, suicide, and all of that. How can a concert stop domestic violence? How can a concert stop suicide? You think about it. When Guyana is celebrating 50 years anniversary, you see churches with flags and 50 year jubilee. Well, are we for Guyana or we are for God? It's a very, very bad way of understanding what we are here for, you know. That is how come when God gives the church people, we don't respect them and don't handle them the way they must be handled. Because the church has become just like anything else. You ask yourself, how is a concert at Jubilee Park going to stop violence and domestic violence? You tell me. If somebody's wife is misbehaving in the house, your concert is going to tell him not to slap her? I'm sure the night that they will be singing, somebody will be beating his wife. At the park. You see, and the sad thing about this is that the church itself is going and moving away from the solution to human problems. And that is when, if any man be in Christ, that is the solution. Oh, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
He will not touch a woman anymore. He will not commit suicide anymore. The Bible says in Colossians 1:27 that Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you don't have Christ, you will kill yourself. That's the only thing I have to tell you. It doesn't matter the concert. We can take the concert to the Providence Stadium. Bring all the artists you can bring. It takes the gospel of Jesus Christ to wash somebody. It's the blood of Jesus that washes somebody and makes the person new, and he begins to do new things. I don't know what church those people go to. You will not see me in such things. Because I know who I am. I'm walking in power. You see, so I'm saying, the Bible is saying that in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. I'm preaching. I'm fired up already. Somebody came to make me fired up in my office before I get down. So I vex. I vex already. The Bible says that, and I will give you, this is God speaking here, I will give you pastors. I will give you pastors. Pastors are a gift from God. So be careful how you treat the gift. Whether it's a man or a woman, it's a gift from God. And the most interesting thing about it is that the Bible is saying that that pastor that God has given you, he is God, is from God's heart. It's like somebody has located you and bought something so precious for you. Hey, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to treat it? So as a church, we are learning how God wants us to behave when it comes to the gift he gives us. The voice of the anointed is my sermon tonight. Very quickly, for those who came in briefly, I won't keep you here long. I'm sure you've already listened to him. You're already blessed already. I'm sure I've said some things that either made you vex or made you believe. I like it when you get vexed. It shows that you are still not born again. Anytime you come to church, you get vexed. It means you are Satan's boy or girl. You have to smile when the pastor is preaching. You say, "Pastor, preach. Pastor, you're talking to me." And then you give your life to Christ immediately after the service. Don't get vexed. You say, "Well, me coming back. You coming back, you're going to hell." But we love you still, you know. We love you though. We still love you, man. We love you. The voice of the anointed. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 1. The voice of the anointed. So we're looking at the same gift that God gives us, the pastor, the anointed man of God, the person's voice. Lizzo, are you here? The person's voice. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. Watch this story. So Jesus, after 6 days, after 6 days, Jesus has 12 disciples, Chantel. He takes Peter, he takes James, and he takes John, the two brothers, Zebedee brothers, and he brings them up into an high mountain. So what Jesus does here is that he separates the three from the 12 and then bring them apart to Mountain Kanuku. High mountain. Now if Jesus was in Georgetown, it means that he had to travel to the interior, because that's where you find mountains. And then not when he gets to the interior, then he goes up the mountain. Let's read on. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. And what happened? Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. We don't want to go to Georgetown. Let us stay here in the interior. If thou will, let us make here three homes. Let's build three habitat for humanity buildings. Food for the poor houses. Three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Verse 6. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. Here ends the reading. May the Lord add his blessings upon his holy word. Now, let's look at this whole story very carefully. Why did Jesus take these three guys to the top of the mountain? Why did they sit on? Is it verse 92? To let them or Madia? 92 is where? Is it 92? 92. Let them or Madia? Where are the people from Madia? 94. 94 to Madia. Let them. 94 is let them. And Madia is what number? 72. So Jesus went to Starbrook Market with James, Peter, and John. And they boarded 94 to let them. When they got to the Rupununi, is it Rupununi they call it? Then they got out and they went to the top of the mountain. He left the disciples in town. And the Bible says that when they went on top of the mountain, then Jesus was transfigured. It means Jesus' face and his whole body and everything changed. And then they saw Elijah. Elijah who? He's very known. I mean, I would like to see Elijah. I tell you. He's too powerful. Elijah and Moses appeared and the two of them were standing with Jesus and the three disciples alone. Then the Bible says in verse 4 or 5, one of them. Peter, when Peter saw them, he said, no, this is too magnificent. If you go to an attraction park, when you're a child, you go to an attraction park, you don't want to come home. Peter said, no. We can't, we can't go back home. Let's live here. In verse 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud. Which voice was this? God's voice. Now, God wanted the disciples, especially the serious and the determined ones, the inner circle. You know, Jesus had this inner circle. It was Peter, James, and John. When he went to Gethsemane to pray, he left the other nine. He took the three a little further, and he left them there, and he went further to pray. So Peter, James, and John were what you call the inner circle. And in every pastor's life, there's always an inner circle. You can jealous or not jealous. That's how it is. And there's an outer circle. And there are people like Thomas who we never heard anything from. They're quiet workers. They're disciples, but they are quiet. Matthew was a tax collector. We never heard him say anything. It's Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. Like that, the inner circle. God decided to send a strong message. A strong message to the strong disciples. And what did God say? The only thing God said was that this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. What should they do? Listen to his voice. Listen to him. Whatever he has to tell you, listen to it.
If the voice of an anointed person is not so important, God will not take three guys all the way to the mountain top to hear from God that, listen to the man. One of your greatest challenges here in the church, even as a church member, is my voice or is Bishop's voice. It's the main thing. Because in the book of John chapter 10, Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice. You see, we are sheep. I'm sure if you're in Lighthouse, you understand that. That the Bible describes Christians as sheep. That's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. A shepherd is someone who takes care of sheep. So when somebody says that you are my shepherd, it means that I am a sheep. That's why you are my shepherd. Is that very easy to understand? Now, if the shepherd is taking the sheep out and the sheep cannot receive the signals or the voice of the shepherd, I'm sure you understand with me that there's going to be danger. That is why David even said that. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because the shepherd is with him. Not only is he with him, but he's with him to guide, to lead, and to direct. The voice of your anointed man, anointed woman, is so crucial to you. The voice of the anointed. It is very important for you and I to constantly be hearing and be listening to the voice of the one God has anointed and given to us. One of your greatest challenges will be and is for somebody to tell you not to believe in the pastor. You see, since Pope London's case, many people don't like to hear about pastors. But you see, it is not what he has done. That is not it. Because you too, you do it. Everybody does it. It's not something that has never happened in this world before. In fact, you did it even before you came to the church tonight. Yeah. That is not the thing. The thing is that, what does that case make pastors look like? It makes the people that God has anointed for us, it makes us don't want to listen to them. But not listening to them is what will cause you to be lost in this world. Yeah. Read John chapter 10. Jesus narrates it very, very clearly. He talks about the sheep and then the hireling. And he says, they know my voice. He said, I know them. He said, but the other people, will they not follow? But that is what is happening in the world now. There's everything about attention. You see, people just want to discredit pastors, to make pastors look like demons, to make pastors look like Satan's incarnate. There are so many jokes about pastors, even more than any other people in any profession. If you are on WhatsApp groups, you hear a lot of church jokes, pastors jokes, all kinds of things you hear. You never hear president jokes about presidents. Joke about the carpenters. Joke about accountants. Joke about lawyers. All the jokes and everything that people make fun of pastors a lot. Because they want the pastoral ministry to look so bad that people will not listen to the pastor. In fact, you can come to church and then as I'm preaching, you can even get bored. Not knowing that it's that voice that you are going to get bored with. That voice is what carries a lot of things for you. Let me give you one point as I'm preaching tonight. We are all young at a point. We all grew up as babies in the homes and all of that. There is none of us who I don't think there's anybody here, and even still, who will not constantly hear your parent, your mother, or your father trying to talk to you about listening to them and obeying them and following what they are telling you. He said, don't eat at the neighbor's house. Don't eat at the neighbor's house. Don't go here. Don't go here. Don't go here. When I was in school, I had a problem with a girl.
The girl was out in the night, and one of the house mistress saw her. I don't know. I think the story was not even clear to me. I don't know what happened, but people used to connect me to that girl. You see, and so this house mistress said at 11 p.m. when the lights were off and everybody was supposed to be sleeping in their dormitories, she saw this girl with a guy, 11 p.m. under one of the lantern posts somewhere around her house. And she could not identify the guy. But the girl, because of some features about her, she knows it was her. So now their quest was to find the boy. And then people, there were rumors that the girl was linked to me. So it must have been me. So I was sick. That particular night, really, I was actually sick. I was in my dormitory, fever, malaria, hot temperature, and all of that. So out of all of that, two days later, my friends took me home, to be attended to. Then I heard after a couple of days when I was recuperating that, she was called to the morning assembly. Morning assembly, every morning in school we have an assembly, about 500 students. She was called to the assembly in front of everybody, and she was lashed. She was whipped in front of everybody. That she was found at a night with a boy. And when you hear night with a boy, you know, other things comes inside, isn't it? So the quest for some teachers who didn't like me was to try and link me to that scene, on that scene. And I had an alibi. I had a real alibi. This is why it wasn't me. This one, it wasn't me. I'm sure the devil sees that sometimes. That's what this one is, not me. It's your laziness. So when I returned to school, then my assistant headmaster called me and said, you know what? There's this case here, and it's very tricky. There's a debate. Some are saying it's you, some are saying it's not you. So just to avoid the confusion, I want you to just go back home. We had a week or two to write exams, and then the term would have been over. So he asked me just to, make people happy and to, you know, not cause. Because I heard it was a strong discussion at the staff common room. Hey, teachers, they said, no, it's that guy. We know it is. He's connected to the girl. Maybe I was also, it wasn't me. So my assistant headmaster, who was my father's friend, asked me to go home and just come to school from the house every morning, and then after school, go back home like a day student. I mean, I was in the boarding house, but so it was like a punishment. Instead of staying on campus, I was to just, you know, shuttle between the house and the school. I mean, commute every day until exams are over, and the next term, we'll see what happens. So, as an obedient student, I went home and told my father that this is the case. My father said he doesn't believe what I'm saying. So, you know, he put me in his car. He drove to the school to find out the truth from the horse's own mouth. And then, you know, of course, when he went, the people said, oh, you know, when your parents go to school and the teachers say all kinds of things, exaggerated. And my father said, they should have beaten me. One day they should have beaten me also. I had an alibi. So then, when we were going home, he started talking to me and he told me something. He said, you know what? I should focus on my education. Don't we hear that all the time? And if we don't hear, what happens to us? Then you see what happens to you if you don't listen. He said, I should focus on my school education. He wants me to become a medical doctor. I should focus. And you know what he told me? He said, if it's a white lady I want, he will find a white lady for me. I should leave these black girls and go to school properly. And when I qualify as a medical doctor, he will look for a white woman for me. If it's a white woman I'm looking for. Oh, ask for voice. Ask for parents' voice. Ask for teachers' voice. Oh, plenty. In the same way, the man of God, the anointed person's voice is something. Otherwise, God will not show himself
to Peter, James, and John only to tell them, listen to this man. Hey! That's all he said, though. What was it? Matthew 17, verse 7. What does verse 7 say? And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. The whole experience is finished. So if you ask yourself, Jesus, so you brought us all the way to the interior for what? To come and see Moses and Elijah? Really? No. The main thing was what God said. He said that this is my beloved son. You must listen to him. Every anointed person God has for you, you have to be very careful with the person's voice.
Yeah, you have to be very careful with the person's voice.
And to be even more specific, you have to be careful when he talks to you directly.
You see, as I'm preaching, God is saying things. That's how preaching is. As I'm preaching, everybody has something they are picking from what I'm saying. I can talk for 1 hour. You probably just pick a sentence. And that is what God is telling you.
The most important thing the devil wants you to do is to shut your pastor's voice from your life.
You ain't got to tell me nothing. Why you won't mind my business? It's my life. Why he doesn't want to mind his own business? Why? I won't listen to him. He didn't understand what's going on. Once upon a time, a church member came to me. He came to borrow. He said, if I can lend him some money. I've been trained as a pastor not to lend church people money. How does a pastor lend a church member money? Then if you don't pay, what happens? Then when I'm preaching, I say, oh, God is going to bless you. When I look at you, I say, you, not you. What kind of pastor am I going to be? That when I'm praying for people, I'm laying hands, and then you come, and you are the one who owes me. When I get there, I say, in the name of Jesus. No. You make the church member uncomfortable. She might easily not come to church the next Sunday. And that happens. When people owe you money, they try to avoid you. They try not to speak to you. Yeah. So when you're a pastor, these things are very, very tricky. You don't lend people money. A pastor also doesn't openly show his support for politics and things like that. Because if I say I'm APNU right now, somebody will get vexed with me because somebody doesn't like them. So I'm for Jesus. Jesus party. Otherwise, I support Sharma. I know when I say that to her, nobody will say anything. So I'm Mr. Sharma's supporter. I'll vote for him any day. I know that will not get me into trouble. But if I talk about Jagdeo, say, I support Jagdeo. Hey, I don't know how many people will not come to the church anymore. You know, so there are some things a pastor doesn't... doesn't do. You get it. So, in a quest to pastor and to minister and to lead, discrediting. What was I going to talk about when I brought these things? I was going to say something. Are you following? Sorry? The voice. Yeah. So, the main thing is for... Yeah! That's a mathematician. A church member came to me once upon a time to borrow money. Then I went further. Then I almost got lost. So I found my way out. He came and he said, Pastor, you could lend me some money? I said, yeah, what do you need the money for? When you come to Pastor, let Pastor pray for you rather, not lend money. When I pray for you, God will help you. But if you come to lend me money, I'm not Scotia Bank. Or Republic. We are the one for you. So I wanted to know what he needed the money for. Is that Stuart? And then he said, his son is getting married and he needs money to buy a suit. So, you know, as a pastor,
I said, you know what? Are you sure you really need a suit? He said, yeah. I said, man, I thought the one who's getting married, he's the one who should be going around looking for suit. Why don't you put a tie, nice shirt, pants, and dress up like that? He said, man, pastor, the mistress also needs some nice dress and a hat, you know. I said, oh, so the mistress doesn't have some old church dress and something that she can put on. Then he said, pastor, I born and grew in Guyana, you know. You understand what's going on. Yeah. He said, I don't understand what's going on. Because the father of the groom's father and the groom's mother, they must dress up. But you don't have money. Are you the one getting married? Find some shirt and look for some old tie or something. Or at least you come and say, pastor, please, can you give me one of your ties? You at least I can give you one tie. Yeah, I can give you 2 an hour. One for the morning, one for the evening. He said, no. I don't understand. So I also said, you also don't understand. Because I ain't got nothing for give. If I had, I would have given you. He went to the wedding, he was dressed up and all of that. I'm sure he went to borrow. And this is a church member who owed. He had issues. He was owing people all over the place. And so you come to the pastor, I should help you to owe some. Like I said, if I had given him today, I'm sure he wouldn't have paid up to today. And I see him sometimes, he drives minibus. And when I'm driving, I'll feel like crashing into his car, isn't it? Because he owes me money. He did not listen to what I was trying to tell him. And that's how church life and that's how we behave. The most important challenge for you, ladies and gentlemen, it is what your pastor or what anointed person in your life is saying.
What he's saying. And let me say again that most of the time, what an anointed person is saying is even more important than what your parents are telling you.
It's more important than what your father is telling you. It's more important than what your mother is telling you. It's more important than what your friend is telling you. It's more important than what your husband or your wife is telling you.
Remember, your parents don't guide you spiritually. God did not give our parents to us to guide us in the Christian faith. Otherwise, all of us will go to a church where our parents are even pastors. In fact, your parents have to be a pastor to even join the church. Parents just naturally are not people God has given to us to teach us how to walk with Him. Parents bring us into the world. They have their secular responsibilities. They add a lot of things that help us, that ground us. But when it comes to the spiritual journey, when it comes to your spiritual walk with God, God gives you a pastor. And He wants you and I to be very, very careful and pay attention to the pastor's voice. That's why Jesus took 3 of His disciples to the top of the mountain. Only for God. Because they were trying to say, that I'm sure Jesus was talking to His father and He said, you know what? These guys, when I talk to them, they don't listen to me, you know. Can you please talk to them for me? And I'm sure His father said, don't worry, you take them to the mountain. Tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock, I'll come and talk to them. And He did that. And then to make them even more, because it must have been something that God wanted them to really learn and understand for Him to even start by showing them Moses and Elijah. So that when the voice comes, then it will be the icing on the cake. Because if you see Elijah and Moses, and then after that, you are told something, you take it serious. especially Elijah, you should be careful. Yeah. And it's a little dark when, let's say, you see a vision or you see a dream and somebody's trying to talk and you don't hear what the person is saying. When you come out of the dream, you still don't feel nice.
So, oh, I met this person. I met this man of God. I met Bishop Dark. I met my grandmother who died. And she was trying to sell me something. And I could not hear. Or even they told you something, and when you woke up, you forgot what they said. That happens too. The voice of the anointed man, anointed woman in your life is very important. So podcast, recorded messages, sermons, preaching by your pastor, you must prefer the preaching of your pastor more to gospel music.
Should I say it again?
If you are in this church and you understand what I'm talking about, you must have podcast. Your phone or your tablet must automatically be subscribed to Dag Heward Mills podcast. Preaching must be something you listen to all the time, because you have come to, you see, I was going through this morning, I was going through my notes, and I was listening to music. The moment I read 11, then I changed the music to preaching. I said, how can I read this point and be listening to music? Come on, turn to my pastor's voice. Immediately. Right, immediately. Immediately. You must know your. When we come to your house, from a distance, I should hear your pastor speaking in the house. If I come to your house in the night, I should know who your pastor is. When I come to your house, it's true. If we come to your house, will we know who your pastor is? There must be a voice. And some of us don't understand that as you are sleeping and the preaching is playing, that you're dreaming nice dreams. No dreaming of Baku and Midget and Kapuepo and all them people. Car running you and all of that. Meanwhile, you're not sleeping on a grass mattress. At least if you're sleeping on a grass mattress, we'll say that the car coming for his food. Demons are trying to look for people, but when they come around where you are, they hear your pastor's voice. They can't come to your house. They cannot come to your house because your pastor, your man of God, is preaching and talking late and deep into the night. My, oh my, there's more to talk about when it comes to the voice of the anointed. And I want to encourage you, Tuesday services, don't take it for granted. Yeah, Tuesdays with a bishop. Come and hear what God has to tell you. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. My time is up. Hallelujah. We'll continue. Some of you, when your pastor talks to you, you don't listen. Hey! Tonight is the last night that you will not listen to your pastor's voice. I said, tonight is the last night you will not listen to the anointed person's voice. Father, tonight, thank you for speaking to us. The voice of the anointed. Thank you that because your voice is crucial to our lives, that when you anoint a man and you give the man to us, that voice also is crucial in our lives and in our Christian life. I pray that Lord Shepherd House International will not be devoid of the voice of their shepherd, but that we will follow closely by listening and hearing and obeying and doing what our shepherd has to tell us from you. Thank you, Father, for making it so clear to us tonight. We cannot make a mistake about it. The voice of the anointed man of God in our lives. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You are here tonight. Before I close, you are not saved. You are not born again. If you die right now, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. You are here tonight. You know deep down in your heart that if you were to die right now, that you will not go to heaven. You know it. God is calling you tonight. God does not want you to leave his house without making sure you are saved and you are born again. I'm not talking about baptism. I'm not talking about communion. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with God. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I don't want to leave tonight's service the same as I came. I don't want to go back as an unbeliever. I don't want to go back not knowing when I will die, because I'm not sure where I will go if I were to die. If you are here like that, I want to ask you to lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be saved tonight. I want to be saved. You are here like that. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You want to lift up your right hand and say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. I want Jesus. I need Jesus. Pray with me. You are here like that. Your right hand. Just your right hand up above your head so I can see. I want to pray with you. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. You don't know what is going to happen to you. Tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. God is calling you tonight. You lifted up your hand. I want to ask you to please come to the front. I want to pray for you. Gentlemen, come. I want to pray for you. Come. Clap for them as they come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Clap for them. Come. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. Oh, clap for them as they come.
Bring me to my knees. Lord, I lay.
God bless you, sir. Right here. God bless you, gentlemen. God bless you. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. God bless you, young boys. God bless you. God bless you. Want to join them? Come quickly before we pray. Oh, clap for them as they come. You don't want to stand there. Come. Come, my dear. God bless you. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. God bless you. Come to Jesus tonight. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. People giving their hearts to Christ tonight. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Yes. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.
Myself.
God bless you, sir. God bless you. Come, it's not too late. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus. Give your life. Give your heart. Don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. Don't die and go to hell. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. Don't die and go to hell. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. God bless you, sir.
Bring me up myself. I belong to you. Oh, lead me.
My, oh, my.
Lead me to the cross.
Clap for her. Oh, God bless you. Bless you, sir. Oh man, more young people coming to Jesus tonight. Clap for them. God is saving lives. God is changing lives tonight. The devil is ashamed tonight. The devil is defeated tonight. Young people giving their hearts to Christ. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, my dear. God bless you. Come on. Come on. Come on. It's not too late. It's not too late. Come to Jesus tonight.
Where your love for now. And bring me to my knees. Lord, I lay me down. And bring me of myself. I belong to you. Oh, lead me.
Oh. Wow. Do clap for these people in front. Man, man, I told you I'm vexed already. The devil is defeated. You see, all these people, listen to me carefully. All these people who are standing in front, most of them are young people. They were probably going to go to hell if they had died tonight. That's why the devil is ashamed tonight. Because the devil is not taking anybody to hell with him. We're going to pray a prayer. We're going to lead you in a prayer. It's one of the most important prayers you pray in your life. And that prayer now ushers you into the kingdom of God. This is the best decision you are making for your life. What's your name, sir? Joshua. Hey. Joshua's go to church, you know. You know that. Not only Sunday school, you continue. I'm sure the person who gave you Joshua had God in mind. I'm glad you've come forward tonight. What's your name, sir? Kevin. Kevin is not in the Bible, but God is calling you too. What's your name? Huh? Big one. It's not maybe in the history book or something, but not in the Bible. Big man, what's your name?
Lindell.
Lindell. Lindell. And you are?
I am John.
Alia.
Chong.
Chong. Oh, you're Chong. You're Chinese. Okay. And you are?
Kishana.
Kishana. And you are? Fancy name, man. What about you? What's your name? Rahim. Okay, and you are? Wanda. Wanda. Your name? Roxanne. Roxanne. And you are, sir? Siha. Wow. The beginning, this is the beginning of a new life. Okay, after this prayer, make sure you don't leave church at all. Church must be part and parcel of your life. This is just the beginning of a new life. God is saving you from a lot of evil ahead. He's preserving you. Don't let this night be in vain. So close your eyes. Let's pray this prayer together. Church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I believe Jesus is Lord and that he rose again on the third day. I open my heart right now and I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart. To be my master and my savior. To be my Lord and my friend. From tonight, I confess Jesus as my savior. And I believe that by this prayer, I am born again. My life has changed. I am a brand new person. My name is written in the book of life. And I am now a child of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for saving my soul. I promise that I'll serve you. I will follow you for the rest of my days. Now, Satan, listen to me. I don't belong to you. I belong to God. I have given my life to God. I am now a child of God. And I don't have anything to do with you. Jesus is in my heart right now. And I'm protected by his blood. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for these ones. Every single person who has come forward to confess their sins. The Bible tells me that once we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know the sins of these ones have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. I pray for them. This is just the beginning. Preserve them. Preserve them, O God. Keep them, O God, under the shadow of your wings. Let them not fall by the side of the road. Let this confession and this declaration be a permanent one, O God. I rebuke the devil and his works over their lives. And thank you that this race that they have started, they will finish. Because the author and the finisher has become part and parcel of their life. Let them finish this race. And when they stand before you, Lord, I pray that you say to them, well done, good and faithful servant. I give you praise for these lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.